Azeroth with Attitudes.
Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Azeroth with Attitudes. Today we have drama to talk about. Actually crazy drama. No, like actually crazy.
It is.
You've probably heard it a million times already. All type of content creators have already covered this topic, but not us.
Not us.
We're going to talk about that. But yes. Yeah, hi everybody. My name is Art.
And I'm Dylan Zahner, also known as 8-Bit Dylan. And we are two of the hottest, sexiest, most fashionable goblins in Azeroth. And we are ready to dive into the drama, update you on everything we've been up to, and maybe even theorycraft the dumbest expansion that's ever come to World of Warcraft and more.
Right.
And listener questions, obviously.
Oh, yeah, listener questions. Let's not forget that. We've got a few new ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Some good ones.
Yeah, but how have you been, girl? What's new? You were in San Diego, right?
I was, yeah. So growing up in Nebraska, there are two things I always wanted to do being a little nerd growing up. The first is I always wanted to go to E3. So when I was a full-time content creator, I did get the opportunity to go to E3. Which was awesome. It was like very fulfilling for me. The second was San Diego Comic-Con. So
what's E3? Sorry.
E3 doesn't exist anymore, but it was seen as the premier place where before we had like Summer Games Fest and like the Game Awards were like all these things. E3 was where all of the games were announced. So
yeah,
I got the chance to go to E3 when I was a full-time content creator. I actually think went to the second to the last E3 that they ever did. And then San Diego Comic-Con was also this huge convention I've always wanted to go to. So I finally went this weekend. And baby, I was disappointed. It was hands down one of the worst conventions I have ever gone to. And I will go on record and say that.
Damn. Okay. I saw a few creators that were there on my socials. A lot of Americans, obviously. And it looked cute. I mean, it's a convention. What special thing could happen?
Okay. So I'm going to tell you, we're going to run down the list of issues I have with San Diego Comic-Con. So the first.
Did you cosplay?
I did it. My husband did. And my friend did.
Okay.
So the first issue I have with San Diego Comic-Con is you can't even buy tickets to it. So you enter into a lottery to hopefully get the chance to buy passes to San Diego Comic-Con. So already that sucks. So if you...
When do you do the lottery?
You have to enter into the lottery like 6 months before the convention. Six to 8 months. Yeah.
Okay.
So... Say you get the chance to buy passes. You don't even then get access to everything at San Diego Comic-Con. You then get entered into additional lotteries to go see certain panels, to shop at specific booths. You're entered into all these lotteries. And you have to say, what's the fucking point? So you spend all this money to go to this convention, to travel out there. You're already making plans to go to San Diego Comic-Con, but you don't know if you're going to even have the ability to go do these things. So my husband and I and our friend won none of our lotteries. So we didn't get selected to do anything, which is fine. We were like, we'll go for the expo hall, the artist alley. We'll like maybe go see some panels because there's some panels you can see without a ticket. Like the ticketed like lottery system. So
that's actually insane.
We get to the convention center, and I should preface this. I went to TwitchCon, which was at the same convention center, not even 6 months ago. And TwitchCon, despite some people having some issues with TwitchCon, is ran like a well-oiled machine at this point.
Oh, wasn't there this drama though with like Emiru?
Yeah. There's issues. Like the meet and greet has issues, like security. Mama. All I will say is San Diego Comic-Con was the least safe convention I've ever been to.
No, that's not cool.
No metal detectors, no bag checks. They were just opening up doors and people were just flooding in to the convention center. Insane behavior. The only thing you do is you walk in and you scan your badge. That is it. They're not checking your bags. They're not making sure you don't have any weapons. If I was a celebrity
in America, out of all places, not checking the bags, mama, what insane. Are we doing?
The amount of celebrities that are at San Diego Comic-Con, I was floored. I would, if I was a celebrity, I would never do a meet and greet at San Diego Comic-Con, knowing that someone could just come in with a gun, a knife, spill, like throw acid on me, like anything. Like, I could not believe it. So anyway, there's more issues. Girl, I'm not done yapping because there's so many issues I have with this convention.
Crush out. I'm here for it.
So you get to the convention and there's a single fucking line down this narrow sidewalk.
I just want to preface. I feel really bad because you were really looking forward to this because you were going to spend time with your husband and you were like excited that you guys get to go on a trip.
Yes.
That pisses me off.
So you're waiting in the single line in the heat. There are people with disabilities also in this line. And I'm like, why is there not a separate line for people with disabilities? This is so not good. They're sitting in the heat and they have like a scooter or have like a chronic heart condition. So security is like trying to grab people out of the sidewalk and say, does anyone have a disability? Yada, yada, yada. And I was like, this is so unorganized. So we get up finally after waiting like 40 minutes in this line on the sidewalk. We finally get to the doors. They open up the disability doors and people just start going in. People that don't even have disabilities. There's no check whatsoever.
Oh my God.
So obviously my husband and I are like, we're not going to go through that door. That is meant for people with disabilities. We keep walking. There is a line. They have lined up everyone with a disability over to the side. They're not letting them in because they're letting in other people into the disability door. So there are people with disabilities sitting in the heat waiting and not getting let in. I was like, this is crazy to me, like how unorganized this is. So anyway, we get into the convention. There's this expo hall and the expo hall is like packed. It's huge. There's so many different booths you can go shop at. It was awesome. Mm. The issue is, remember when I told you about this lottery system? So you're entered into a lottery to also shop at specific booths. They put those booths in the same space as the unticketed expo hall booths. So they have these lines that are taking up all of the space in the expo hall for these ticketed events. So Mattel, say Mattel's one of them. Say I want to go buy a doll at the Mattel booth. I had to win a lottery to shop at the Mattel booth. You would think if you're a San Diego Comic-Con, it would make sense to take every booth that is a ticketed event and put it somewhere else. So that way all those
like
lines,
VIP area or
like a VIP area. So that way it's not crowding up space in this shopping area. They didn't do that. So as you're trying to navigate, there's just these lines that are broken up, taking up all the hallway space. This was a massive fire hazard, this entire expo hall. If a fire broke out, I guarantee you hundreds would die. Like, there, it was so unsafe how crowded this expo hall area was. It was so poorly organized. So I was like, we were going through, we were trying to shop around. I got some cool stuff at the Neopets booth, which was awesome. And another issue. So those ticketed events, say you didn't win the lottery, but you did want to buy something from that booth. They had a specific hour you could show up that was open to the public. Again, not organized. So you could show up at the hour that they were saying, and they were very loose with it. It was like, maybe it's 3, maybe it's 4, you know, maybe show up at 5. Maybe we'll open up to the public then. So there's no organization across any of these booths. So you have people waiting outside of these booths until they open it up to the public, which further congested the entire expo hall. It was a mess. Anyway, so I was like, maybe the artist alley's good. Now, I will preface this by saying, when I worked at Twitch, I create, like, I organized Artist Alley for TwitchCon. I did it for like 3 years. So I like picked the artist. I organized the tables. I like made sure that like, our configuration made sense. Like I did Artist Alley for TwitchCon. So I know what it takes to make a good Artist Alley. This was hands down the worst Artist Alley I have ever fucking seen. And I have gone to like local, like shitty conventions before that have had better Artist Alleys. They put people. So one thing that you want to do when you do an Artist Alley is to make sure that every single booth has open access to everyone. Because otherwise, if someone gets put in a shitty spot, they're paying the same amount of money as someone that gets a good spot. And it's not fair to that shitty art, like that artist that's in the shitty spot, because they might not make as much money because they've just been put in a bad spot. So what they decided to do is they squeezed everyone into a tiny little space, which already super congested. You can't see all these artists because the traffic's terrible. But then they decided to take artists and put them in these little cul-de-sac areas. So there's no flowing of people through these spaces. So if you wanted to like see an artist in one of these cul-de-sac areas, you had to like shimmy through a crowd of people to then go stand at this booth, hoping you get up there to like look at what they have to buy something, to then have to shimmy your way out the way you came in. And I was like, there's no flow there. Like it was a mess. So we went there for like half the day and we were just like so over San Diego Comic-Con. We ended up leaving. We went to the San Diego Zoo. It was fun. We ended up having fun in San Diego. So that's me ranting, rant over. I might make a video. I've been debating like making a video about this. Cause I was like, this convention has existed for almost 50 years, if not 50 years. How do you not have your shit together? Like, I genuinely don't understand it. Like, there's conventions that are, like, half your age that understand what the fuck they're doing. Like, I just don't get it. Outside of that, though.
sounds like a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. Outside of that, though, I've been playing a bunch of different games. I have been playing some more Moonlight Peaks, which has been really fun. I'm still up on that game. I've been really having fun dating around all these little vampires and werewolves. And I played a little bit of, this is going to sound so embarrassing. So one of the things I bought when I was at San Diego Comic-Con was a game. I bought, it's called the Neopets Mini Game Collection. They came out, like 26 Neopets mini games remastered with HD graphic or like nicer graphics, new systems. They threw it on a console and you could earn Neo points for your account by playing this game.
That still exists?
Yeah, girl, it still exists. I platinumed that game in like a day or two. I was like, honestly, take me out back and shoot me. This is crazy that I platinumed this game in like 2 days. So other than that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, gamer.
It's my first platinum, and it is one of the easiest games to platinum that I've ever
seen. So do you A. I don't have platinum any games, so you A.
It was so stupid. Oh, and then I tried Splatoon Raiders. That game is so good. Like, if you like, I have played the other Splatoon games and I'm not a big fan of Splatoon, really.
Is that the color thing?
Yeah, you're like a squid and you're squirting.
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, yeah. And you're like squirting everywhere. Yeah. It's Nintendo's kink game. So I played Splatoon Raiders, which is a single player version of Splatoon, and it's very good. I have found myself playing it off stream. I streamed it yesterday, but I played some off stream and I was like, all right, I could see myself genuinely playing this game.
I love that.
Yeah.
Sounds fierce.
It's enough yapping for me though. I just went on a huge tangent. How have you been?
No, I love it. I love when you crash out. You don't crash out often. You're always so chill about everything. So I do like to see you complain. I think it's good. I think it's good. No, it really is. I've been good. the weather cooled down in Vienna for a week, but we're already right before our next heat wave with 40 degree weather. And I'm dreading it. But it's been a good week. I'm very, very busy right now with the agency. It's going all over the place. So that's really, I can't share anything yet, but it's a lot of exciting things happening.
Oh, she's starting something called, it rhymes with Plony Mans. No, I'm just kidding.
What?
I was making a joke about OnlyFans. God. Never mind.
Why would I need an agency for that? You just have to pull your dick out. Anyway. No, I'm not starting an OnlyFans. No, I lost what I wanted to say. My train of thoughts.
I went on a dumbest tangent. I'm sorry.
I've been playing a lot of WoW again. Yeah, I realized that there's some goals that I still haven't achieved. So I'm still trying for my 3.4, and I've been doing some keys off a stream. It's been really nice. On stream, I've been doing some like achievement farming and collecting, and I'm also doing PvP, which makes me want to rip my hair out.
Girl.
Like, but it's also kind of fun at the same time. Okay. So the way the PvP system works is you get score, and then when you reach a certain score, you enter a category. It's similar to like any other ranked system in any other game. But obviously you can lose score, fall back into a lower category. But in World of Warcraft, you unlock specific cosmetics and like things once you reach a certain rating.
Yeah.
So up until now, I've always wanted to reach elite rank, which is 1,800 points.
That's what I want to, and it's so hard to get there.
It's pretty hard, yeah. Especially if you're not really a PvPer, it can be quite tough. I've done it twice. I've done it once in BFA and once in the War Within. In the War Within, I did it in the course of 2 weeks because it was right before deck season ended, and I really wanted that mage set. Did I ever wear that mage set? Not a single time. But now at least I have it, because with the elite sets, they're genuinely gone forever. You'll never be able to get them again. Not like the mythic sets, which is controversial in my opinion, but whatever. Blizzard once made like a survey where they asked us if we want the elite sets to come back, and the PvP community said no. So we never got them. Even though we would have had to earn them anyway.
Love
but
that.
We can't. We can't. Yeah, I know. Amazing. Yay. Anyway, so FOMO. Yay. I love that. I've been trying to do that, and not even because I want the set, actually. I don't like the set. So I decide if I want to do that, because that it will ruin your sanity if you're not a PvP player. But I'm not even doing it for the set. I'm doing it for the weapon enchant. There's a really...
I want that so bad. It's so cool.
They upped their game with the weapon enchants like crazy since the War Within. And this one has like this like thunder void effect with like void orbs circling your weapon. And I am like seriously considering playing Shadow Priest next patch. To like switch it up a little bit and have like another learning curve and stuff. So I really want that weapon enchant, but that doesn't even need 1,800. It needs 1,950. So it's an extra, which I've never, at the second I hit 1,800, I quit. Right. But I've been doing it and I got really close. I got 1,760 something. And then I was like, oh my God, this is going so well. Like 70 something percent win streak. I was like, this is going really, really well. All of a sudden, the fiercest loss streak I've ever experienced. I'm down to like almost like below 1.6 again. Like, it's so horrible. And I was like, maybe it's because like, I don't know, maybe because we like stopped, and I was like, maybe because it was, you know, Sunday night and I was already tired. It was like towards the end of stream. No, babes, I did it this morning again, and another loss. Like, it's just, it's so hard. It's so hard. I feel like there's something that they do with their rating where when you start off, it feels super smooth, and then all of a sudden you hit a certain plateau, and then they punish you and punish you and punish you and, like, push you back down where you belong, and then you have to slowly inch yourself up again. Horrible. But at the same time, it's also kind of fun. Like, on stream, my viewers seem to really enjoy it, and it is quite fun because, like, you can watch something happen really quick and not like, you know, M+ or just like, I don't know. Yeah. So I've been doing that, and also I started Resident Evil 9.
wait, before you get a 9, I have one question about PvP.
Yeah.
What is the one like class combo that's kicking your ass right now?
DKs.
Oh, okay.
DKs are horrible because DKs have like a lot of CC and like pull and stuff like that. So they are really annoying. And also paladins.
Oh,
paladins okay. are absolutely disgusting. Like I do rated battlegrounds, so I don't do arena. So it's okay. like teams competing against each other with like these. I actually really like that. I used to only do arena. This is the first time I'm doing it in rated battlegrounds, and I actually enjoy it a lot more because it's not just about, you know, who does the most damage, who does the most CC. It's also about like who plays the field the best.
Which
is cool, which is really cool. So like you don't even have to be like the one that does the most DPS. If you know where to be and what to do and how to cap a point and how to like isolate them somehow, like it's actually kind of really cool. It's like real warfare in a way.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fun. Yeah, so paladins are definitely the worst. We queued up in a team where we had four paladins, three of them were ret, and it was just a slaughter fest. Like you couldn't do anything.
Oh,
you couldn't do
no.
anything. Because they also have crazy immunities too. And Blessing of Freedom and all of these like blessings, fucking blessings everywhere. Another reason for me to hate red paladins. Because it doesn't even require skill. Anyway, I'm not even gonna get into that.
Yeah. Okay, so wait, Resident
yeah.
Evil 9, you finally started it. Miss Requiem, if you're nasty.
Oh my god. I am so locked in.
Girl.
It is so good. So I dedicated a whole stream towards it, and I was like, I'm gonna do maximum 4 hours because I want it to be like, you know, like I want it to be like bite-sized streams so you can like, you know, digest it better.
Yeah.
I really wanted to keep going. I really had to force myself to stop, but I had so, so much fun. It is so, so good. Like this is the one that compares the most to me to Resident Evil 2.
Yep.
With like the whole map and the exploring, and you could do different objectives, and it feels more survival-y again. But then also the story has you locked in minute one. And the cutscenes are so high quality. Also, I think I experienced the scariest scene I've ever seen in a Resident Evil game so far.
Yeah. Okay, which one was
you
that?
You probably
for
know
you?
Which one I'm talking about.
I think so, but I'm curious which one was it for you?
The like spooky grandma monster that is sensitive to light, that is also blind.
Yeah.
That crawls through the walls. Oh my god. So I've already seen this monster on socials.
Yeah.
I didn't know when it was gonna happen. But when I was walking through that facility, I don't know, and the first time that monster grabbed that corpse and bit off the head and like looked at me, I genuinely like had goosebumps all over my body. And then knowing that she's chasing me and that if I'm in the dark, I'm basically like, she's gonna kill me and I have to get to the light. It was so terrifying, like actually running away from her, knowing you can't do anything. So, so, so scary. And also like knowing she could technically come from each of these walls and like she could jump at you at any time. So scary, but I loved it because that's how scary, like it was almost as scary as when I saw Mr. X for the first time and his steps are following me. Oh, it was so good. And I actually really love Grace. I thought I was not gonna like her. And people always talk so much bad about her, but I love her. I love her voice acting. I think she's actually she's so brave. Like she doesn't, she's not a fighter, but she's not like whining. Like, yes, she's obviously scared. Like she's in the most scariest place ever, waking up upside down with someone taking her blood. Like with her boss sending her to that like hotel where her mother was killed in front of her. Like that girl has been through so much, and then the way she acts and the way she's actually fighting and doing it, and I was like, I love her. I love her so much. And then she also has like empathy for that little girl, and I don't know. I really like her.
Can
I really
we talk
like her.
About how stupid it is? Because she's part of the FBI, right?
She's like a researcher in the FBI, but she's not trained. She's not a trained cop.
So let's talk about that. Not a trained cop. Has very little infield experience, and her boss is like, I know you have trauma about the specific building and you have a connection. You got this, girl. I'm like,
no,
what?
I literally said the same thing. I was like, okay, so there's five corpses in that hotel that have mysteriously died and vanished. Oh, Grace's mother died there too. Let me send her, that diva that has no training in combat. Also, let me not send anyone with her.
No one.
She's gonna go alone.
She's gonna
go alone, and she's gonna trespass, and she's gonna go there, and it's like a facility that isn't also secured because it's there was a fire in there, so like things could fall on her. No, it doesn't matter. She can figure it out. I was saying the same thing on screen. I was like, this makes no sense to me, but you know,
but that's,
you know,
that's
you,
the
you know
beauty
what
of
it
Resident
is.
Evil. It doesn't have to make sense.
I wish that it would have made more sense is that she would have gotten like some sort of clue about her mother's death.
And
or
she,
anything
she's
about
like
relating.
I want to take that.
And
job.
She's like, I want to go see that. Exactly. Debate or something. But her boss sending her there, I was like, this fucking idiot. And then he was like, I'm not going to force you, but it is your job.
Yeah.
I was like,
he's like, I'm not going to fire you, but also your job is on the line if you don't do this.
I don't know. I really like her. But the thing that I don't like so far is only one specific thing, and it is Leon Kennedy's fucking hair.
Girl, let's
he
fucking
looks
wake
like
it
he
the
threw,
fuck up.
He looks like he threw a wig into the air and like caught it with his head. It's so bad. It's so bad. Like, what is that hard lace,
girl,
here? Like, so bad. And I get it, he looks rough, and people are like, oh my god, he looks so hot. I'm like, are you bitches blind?
He is not attractive at all.
Like, he looks like a dried raisin.
Yes.
He looks so bad. That like lumpy, weird hair, the skin. I mean, he's sick, right? So
yeah.
He's not supposed to look good and attractive. So I don't know. All this like fake ass, like, oh my god, now he's so hot. Silver Fox Daddy. I'm like, he's a corpse. Diva, he's a corpse.
He is twink death personified. He is.
But like in the worst way possible.
In the worst way possible. Because he truly reminds me of those
Karen,
those men who grow up, are now in their like 40s, who are still dressing like they're in their 20s, who don't look like they're in their 20s anymore. And it's like, baby, retire the hair. You're gonna have to retire the haircut. You have to retire the outfit. You gotta retire the personality. Like,
it's
you're not young anymore, sister.
He's doing his cringy jokes and comments again. And I'm like, I actually don't know what people see in this guy. I'm so sorry. Like, make it my controversial statement of this episode.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I don't see it at all. And yeah, it's like he needs to take a break.
Agreed. Fully agree.
Like, I don't know. He was really cute in Resident Evil 2, and I did like him there because he was like a little goofy and a little bit like,
yeah.
But he was also young, right? And now he just looks rough. And I don't mind that he's aging. He should be aging.
He should be aging.
But the
yeah.
way they made him still kind of look, they're trying to make him look edgy with that hair. I'm like, he looks like a White Walker, but a Karen.
Yeah.
Like if a Karen was made into a White Walker in Game of Thrones, this is Leon Kennedy in Resident Evil 9. Period.
T.
That's all I have to say.
T. So how far did you get? How are you still in the facility?
Yes, no, so I Leon got captured, then I played Grace for a really long time, and found that monster that's like crawling through the wall that's like super fat, terrifying.
Okay, you found me in the hallway.
Yes, and then now I am back with Leon, and he just woke up and freed himself from the chains that he was...
You got really far, like for your first stream.
Really? No.
No.
You're to be over.
You're not close to the end of the game, but
I still feel like I just started.
Usually, I'm kind of gagged. You got through the facility so quickly.
There's a lot of things I could have still done in the facility,
okay.
But I was like, oh, I wanna go do the thing with the girl now because I wanna see another cutscene because we were exploring a lot and we were fighting a lot, collecting a lot, running back and forth, and I was like, let me go do the girl now so we can get some more action on the story. But then that made me jump into the next scene already.
Yeah.
Even though I wanted to explore more, but there's a lot more still to do in the facility.
Yes, you can go back and still do that stuff in the facility, which is good. Like, or
yeah.
there's not like. You can't, like, it is a linear story, but you'll have the opportunity. You didn't miss some stuff, which
yeah.
is good.
Well, Grace is still there.
Yeah, yeah. And how do you feel, before we get into, like, other things, how do you feel about the crafting mechanic of it all? Because it's interesting how they did it with, like, the blood
yeah.
draw. And they play very differently.
Yeah.
Leon and Grace.
Okay, so I haven't gotten into the Leon part yet, but the Grace one, haven't crafted anything yet.
Girl, you're gonna learn to craft shit. I'll tell you that. Yeah,
like I and people were like, oh, you should go do this to unlock the recipe for that serum that makes them die faster. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that. And then I did the puzzle, and the first one, fine. The second one, you know, where you have to like press the red dots. I'm like, I don't understand how this works. I got it to a point where there was everything red, just one knot, and I just couldn't do it. And I was like, I'm feeling myself getting ragey.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna quit. I'm just gonna quit and do this later because I don't want people to sit here and watch me do this endlessly and make me see me get angrier and angrier and angrier.
Yeah.
So I just stopped. Because I think it's shit.
Okay. I will fiercely tell you, I need you to finish that puzzle because you're going to want to finish that puzzle.
Like... Yeah, no, people said that in the chat too. Like, I get that, but I just didn't feel like it anymore. I think I spent like half an hour at it and I was like, I'm good.
Are you playing on easy, normal, or hard?
The story one.
Okay, so easy.
So easy.
Okay, so yeah. You're going to have an easier time with it then.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. So one stupid, dumb, gay idea that we had here on this podcast was, what if we were at the helm of making our own adventure, expansion, storyline, if you will, in World of Warcraft post-trilogy? Like, what if Blizzard was like, we really love both these divas so much, put them in the writer's room, make them the producers of their own adventure. So what I thought would be really fun for us today, before we get into some listener questions.
We forgot the drama, Diva.
Oh God, we have to get into the drama. You're right. Scratch
the
that.
Drama. I feel like the drama.
Scratch
the drama
that bullshit. We need to talk about, you know what?
Did he forget? I'm going to let him finish the sentence and then see if he,
I did forget. Here's what we're going to do. We'll park that podcast idea for a later episode because we got to dive into this drama.
No, we have. Okay. So I'm going to fill you in. I love filling people in on the drama. Okay. So do you know what happened?
I do know what happened.
So do you know the details?
Yes. But please tell the listeners. I know all the tea. It's crazy.
So if you live under a rock.
Yeah.
No, but if you are into World of Warcraft and if you're not necessarily like part of the community on socials, first of all, bless you because you're having a much better time.
Yeah.
But especially the Twitters, okay? So there was a scandal where there's this girl, she's a streamer, right? And she and her M Plus group were doing really high M Plus. They were doing like a plus 23. Mind you, apparently it was resilient. So they've already timed this key.
Okay.
Don't know if that's true. It's a detail that I heard, but you know how it is with drama. People always keep adding details and then you end up not knowing what is true and what is not true. But apparently it was like a resilient key, so it wasn't even that big of a deal. She was doing it live on stream, right?
Yep.
And her group consisted of friends, and there was one person, the tank, who was a pug. So he was not a friend. And usually the higher you get in keys, the more likely it is that someone in that group is logging. So they're tracking all the data. You can see the whole timeline of the key, every ability that was used at any sort of second, everything, right? And she is struggling with the last boss, and she's already realizing that she's not going to be able to potentially time this dungeon because there's another mob that she needs to get down and it has too much health, blah, blah. That mob magically died. People didn't even notice, to be honest. However, the tank logged it and saw that mob, he was confused. Because obviously the tank will know everything. The tank understands everything that's going on. The DPS won't even notice if something got pulled extra. But the tank will know, okay? Especially in a tank in that caliber that does a plus 23. He checks on the logs and there's a mysterious ability called Death Touch. That was used on that mob that instantly killed it. And no, it's not Touch of Death, like most people assume for monks. No, it's Death Touch, an ability that is only given to GMs. So like, let's say they want to remove a mob somewhere, it's, you know, they use Death Touch, blah, blah, blah. And that was posted on Reddit and it went viral. People were like, what the fuck's happening, blah, blah. So turns out that streamer had in her chat a GM from Blizzard.
I heard that, it was in the call with them, not in the chat.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I heard that he was in the group, which apparently is not true.
No.
I heard that he was in the call, which apparently is not true. Okay. I think at least the one that I saw that is like the most official version is that he was just watching the stream, but he is aligned with her in a way.
Okay.
Or has like a crush on her. And he thought, let me just do that and make sure this diva times her key because I like her and maybe I want a little bit more attention of her. In a way, it's almost kind of romantic, in my opinion. I don't know. Like, it's a little, I get it. Like, it's weird. It's simpy. It is. He shouldn't have done that. It's wrong. It's like the integrity of the competitive game needs to be like, you know, nurtured. It shouldn't be something that should be done. But I also don't feel like it's the end of the world. Like, everyone's behaving. Is it bad? Yes. Is it really that crazy, in my opinion? I'm like, girl, whatever. It was also a resilient key. Anyway, she got her title. She was like, yay! Blizzard starts investigating it, fully reverts it. He gets fired.
Oh,
Not only did he get fired,
like, I believe they're looking into potentially banning, like, some of the accounts of the people that ran that key. Like, that's what I read online. Like,
I hope they don't do that.
There may be action that is going to get taken on the people that ran the key. I hope they don't do that. This was happening.
I don't know. I hope they don't do that. I don't think that's necessary. But the crazy thing about this to me is that man got this job 2 months ago. He's been into this job for 2 months. Likes a girl. And is like, yeah, bitch, let me risk my job that thousands of people probably dream of.
Yes.
To impress that girl and do her a favor. Also, if I was that girl and I knew he did that, I'd be pissed because I'm like, no, I want to earn my achievement.
Yes.
I want to earn my achievement. I want to earn this. Like, I want the PvP stuff, right? I don't want someone to unlock it for me with a cheat code. I want to earn that. Otherwise, I'm not even going to care about that weapon enchant. You know? Like, it's not the same thing. And so I think that's ridiculous that he thought that that's a smart choice. It makes me almost feel like he's a teenage boy that is, like, you know, crazy in love and is, like, he's acting out of character to, like, impress that girl.
Yeah.
So in a way, I find that kind of romantic, but that's a grown-ass man, diva. So I don't know. I don't know about that. I just think it's really embarrassing.
Yeah, it is super embarrassing. And I think that, to get a job as a GM is incredibly difficult to do. Which tells me that he probably has a lot of experience moderating in the World of Warcraft scene or has experience like policing like communities within the World of Warcraft scene because it's usually one of the prereqs to being a GM in a game like this to get hired on is you have to like be in the community for a while. So he should have known better. Like, it's crazy to me to get this power.
I think he fully risked it and knew the risk.
It's just insane.
You can't be that stupid.
And I know for a fact that the other GMs are probably like, God damn it. Because now Blizzard is probably going to be super vigilant of everything GMs do for like the next 6 months. Because they're going to be scared that the community is going to point out anything a GM does that's out of line. So now they're like, you just made our job fucking harder. Thanks.
Yeah, but also, don't you think that these things have happened before for sure?
Absolutely, they've happened. Girl, I've told a story on this podcast before years ago where I hosted, it broke terms of service, a game show to give away all my gold when I had all this gold, and it's against terms of services to hold a competition in World of Warcraft for in-game currency.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And the GM let me do it even though it broke the rules because he was like, all right, I guess I'll allow it, like, even though it fully
broke. That was like classic times.
I guess, but it's whatever. Like, GMs will bend the rules from time to time if it just makes sense to.
Yeah, but in this specific case, I think it's actually crazy because it's a competitive setting.
And it's right? live.
You were doing an RP stuff. And it's live! Like, oh my God. Like, there's so many layers to this where I'm just like, this man. I don't know if I want to give him a hug.
No.
Or just ask him to.
No, girl. He's stupid. No, but I'm like, sorry.
Hug in a way that's like, oh, baby, you're so stupid. Let me come here.
Yeah.
Come, let me give you a hug.
Like, why would you throw your job away? Regardless of what's
cute.
Girl, he said, give me the himbo. Give me the himbo stat. I need him in my bed right now. I was kidding.
No, not like that. I just like whenever someone does something so stupid, I'm like, oh, diva. Like, I don't know. I just find it so like endearing in a way almost because he just liked the girl. And obviously, it's still shit. And
yeah.
Did he deserve to get fired though?
Yes. He absolutely. 2 months into his job and he's already abusing his powers to like give someone a title and an achievement in the game. Yes, the whole point of you being a GM is you're not going to abuse your powers, and he used it for personal gain.
I get that though, but like,
or at least a warning would have. I guess
a warning
would have worked if this was not a public spectacle, but this became a public spectacle, which then means Blizzard needs to protect their IP. And if they don't take action on this GM who abused their power, then people won't trust anything GMs do in the game. So Blizzard has to make an example of this guy for breaking their rules. Like he did the crime and now he's doing the time. Now, had this not become like a public spectacle and had Blizzard learned of this this abuse of power behind the scenes, like say it was flagged in a report, and then they were like having a conversation with the GM, he probably would have gotten a warning.
I mean, people are sending him so much hate on socials that he deleted his like socials, and the girl got a lot of hate too. There's a lot of already really mean stuff being said about girls that are in competitive World of Warcraft because it's like, oh, you're being carried, you're being boosted. So that didn't help the narrative. And the girl is getting so much hate. And like, people all like demand like them being banned and canceled and deleted off the internet. I'm like, we have gotten so far with that stupid ass cancel culture. Like, cancel culture started with people having to hold themselves accountable, which I'm fully behind. But at this point, it's like, we can't always have everyone be deleted from Earth for every little mistake that they do. Can we take a breath? At the end of the day, it is World of Warcraft.
It's World of Warcraft. And also, like, it's not the end of the world. It would have been different if it was like Worlds. Like, who's the world's first?
Yeah.
And someone... someone cheated. There's like more stakes at play. Like, I think Blizzard did the right thing. They reverted the achievement because she didn't earn it, and they did action, whether that was banning or give a warning or fired the GM. But I do agree with you. I don't think that the players should be at fault for a GM stepping in and abusing their power, because at the end of the day, they didn't force him to do that. Like, he did it of his own accord, his own choices. So she shouldn't get banned, and neither should anyone else in that key. But I did read somewhere that Blizzard is considering like doing some action on their account, which I think it's taken it a little too far.
Like, that girl how is she gonna ever stream again?
Yeah, I don't think banned. I don't think they would get banned. They'd probably get like...
No, but even now, already after receiving all that hate...
Like, oh, diva.
How is this girl ever going to hit live again?
Oh, if that happened to me, bitch, I'd be going live every day. I'm like,
yeah, but you are you. You're crazy and delusional. Crazy and delusional and insane.
I need her to lock in and use this opportunity to like advertise herself.
To grow. Yes, to be like, yes... Oh, I always said live on stream. I'm like, this diva is a bad fucking bitch. Okay?
Yes.
She has that GM wrapped around her little finger, and she didn't even need to ask him to do it. He does it for her. Obviously, he shouldn't have done that. Yeah. But like, can you imagine being so powerful that you literally make men risk their job
without you
even asking them to do it?
There's two paths set in front of her.
Like, there is power in her, okay?
There's two paths in front of her. This is what I need her to decide. She can either A, take the route, go full Casey Tron and say, who wants to carry me? And like go and just like get men to simp for her in her chat and like make it her marketing ploy. Path B, I need her to lock in on competitive and show these men that she's better at World of Warcraft than they are. Yeah. And be like, watch me, bitch, run this key.
I need her to do that, and I prefer that path.
Oh, same.
I need her to do that and point at all of these men's micro penises and just goes, ha-ha-ha-ha. I need her to do that. Yeah, I agree.
But I think
I love her. I'm obsessed with her. I'm a fan.
I think the worst choice, honestly, bring her on the pod. Come on, girl.
Bring her on the pod.
Bring her on the fucking pod. Because we will.
Let's talk, Diva.
Let's talk. Because I think this, she has been giving, like, listen, all publicity is good publicity sometimes. And I think she should use this opportunity to grow. I think her not going live is the worst thing she can do. Because then the men are getting to her. And you don't want those men to win. Which is frustrating because men treat women like shit in the games industry, just in the industry in general. Like, it's awful.
The comments I've read are, like, disgusting. It's just pissing me off. I'm like, no, Diva, you need to capitalize off of this.
It's so annoying.
Anyway, fierce drama. People calling it the craziest drama of all the workout that ever happened. I'm like, really? Are we that boring? Are we that boring? Like,
it's so stupid.
But okay.
We do have some fierce listener questions to get to, so let's get into it. This one's another one from Lorebites. Shout out Lorebites again. He says, hey, sassholes, hope you've been well. Per my last email.
Sassholes.
I know. How dare you? I stated that I'm a whore for horror. Same girl. Shows off my horror tattoos. I just saw Backrooms this past weekend and cannot get it out of my head.
Me too.
I haven't seen it yet. I really want to. So needless to say, I have horror on the brain. And apologies in advance, this email's going to say horror way too many times. Dylan, you're a huge horror fan, and Art, you seem to have recently popped your horror cherry with Resident Evil. It's becoming obvious with each episode that you're getting more desensitized and into the genre. Like, I think he's saying this about you. So I have the perfect WoW-related question. There are so many horrific and terrifying concepts in Warcraft that Blizzard could make its own spin-off horror game set in the Warcraft
universe.
Oh
my god. Could you imagine?
I would live. We know they can cook because they made Diablo. We've got zombies and undeath, Lovecraftian, cosmic horror, several different flavors of hell, the Drust, the Emerald Nightmare. I could go on and on. If you were tasked with making the spinoff, how would you do it? Which games, films, or other media would you use as inspiration to set the tone, gameplay style, and plot? Then how would you put all that together with one of your favorite Warcraft horror topics? This is a whole episode. Would you be down? I would be down to do a whole episode about, like,
I mean, yeah. The first thing that I think of is, oh my god. So I saw this one video that was like scariest places in World of Warcraft. And that was one that truly got under my skin. It was somebody like in the sea and they were diving and there was this crazy ass huge monster with glowy eyes in the sea with like tentacles. And that made me think, like, remember that one scene of Ashara being pulled underwater? And then, like, that fish stalks her. She's in complete darkness. You almost, like, it's a horror element. And then, boom, like, the light turns on and you see this, like, massive creature and, like, the Black Empire. And she is terrified. I need there to be, like, a Lovecraftian sort of, like, horror with Nazoth, like, playing with your mind and making people do crazy things. And just, like, Nazoth is such a horrific world. Like a horrific, what are they called again?
Eldritch Horror?
No,
or Old God?
Old God. Like, I think that would be stuck with the eyeballs and everything. We've seen horror portrayed in World of Warcraft so often already. Remember that scene of Zalatoth coming out of the wall?
Yeah. Crazy.
In The War Within? Scary!
Yeah.
Like, I think the obvious choice would be the Scourge and Arthas and like raiding the village and, you know, stuff like that. That would also be great.
Yeah.
It would also be very Warcrafty, but the Old God stuff is so scary in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, cause we don't understand it yet that well. Right. So I think it's scarier and it feels more like a unbeatable evil, you know?
Yeah.
That I really like. And there was another thing. Yeah, I mean, I guess the Scourge invasion in Silvermoon and seeing everyone literally be shredded apart in the city, that would also be great. Like a zombie apocalypse vibes. Like, we saw that with Liadra and, like, seeing her father get killed by that monster. That was so well done with him, like, stomping, and you could hear his chains and, like, the horror of it all. Oh, so good.
I think for me, I've said this on the pod before, I would love there to be a live-action movie, short film advertising, like, a future expansion or something of the Scourge Invasion. Like, I want to see, like, acting and horror and like all that stuff. But for a game, I go back to, we've already got an example of this, Secret World and Secret World Legends, which is another MMORPG. They did horror spinoff games of their MMO. So if you've ever played the horror game The Park, which is a very good horror game, it's actually set in the universe of Secret World. And it's a really interesting, like, there's a lot of horror elements in Secret World. And they took one concept of the many horror elements and they made it an entire game. And what I would love is, I think they should take something that the horror element hasn't been explored as much and give us horror. So I go to the Emerald Nightmare. The Emerald Nightmare, to me, when I'm playing, seems like it's supposed to be scary, but hasn't really delivered horror to me in the World of Warcraft. It just seems like a red emerald nightmare with like some twisted elements to it. I would love to play a game where you play as maybe a night elf, a young maybe night elf, and you start having these really messed up nightmares and you really start like, it's like psychological thriller and you start really hearing like the voices of the nightmare, and it starts to influence the way you see the world and really explore the psychological thriller elements of horror games. That's like more bite-sized, more condensed, and maybe you're exploring the Emerald Nightmare. Or is it the Twisting Nether, or is it called the Emerald Nightmare? I can't remember.
Twisting Nether is something else. Emerald Nightmare is true, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, with the thorns and everything, it could be really cool.
I think it would be really interesting. I would also really like if they took a concept that has already been established in World of Warcraft, so say like the Scourge, and did an origin game of like how the Scourge started or how a certain horror element started and have like a twist on it. I like really gaggy moments where you're like, oh my God, it's like, you're like playing a game and then, oh my God, Arthas showed up and it's the Lich King. Like, I think it would be fun if you're playing as like a peasant and like really scary shit starting to happen in your town and the Scourge are starting to attack or something. And then towards the end of the game, you experience, oh my fucking God, it's the Lich King. And he is walking through my village. Shit's dying, shit's happening, and you have to try and escape and like survive this like overwhelming presence. I would just live for that. I think there's a lot of horror elements that we could use in World of Warcraft for a game, and I need World of Warcraft to make more spinoff games that aren't just mobile throwaways. I need them too. Ooh.
Yeah, I would live for that.
We have another listener question that I thought was one of the funniest listener questions. We don't even have to answer this question because they sent us the listener question and then they followed up with a reply several hours later being like, I was high as fuck, please ignore this question. But Diva, we're not gonna ignore the question.
Right. I think you said yeah.
So
read it out.
We got a listener question, and this is the community that we have brought to this podcast. I just want to point that out. Hi babes, I have another question for you. This one's a little unhinged. For scientific reasons, please rate these characters' dick size. Anduin, Lorthamar, Thrall, Jailer, Deathwing, Gallywix, Magni Bronzebeard, and King Mechagon. And then several hours later, they emailed us saying, guys, I was high as fuck, please ignore.
No, but the emoji that they used in that one killed me.
The crying emoji.
Guys, sorry, I was high as fuck, please ignore that crying emoji.
Crazy.
Dylan sent me that, and I was laughing for like 5 minutes. It was so funny to me because I relate to the unhingedness. I relate because you're like, no, why did I do that? And then you're just like, so funny. So funny.
But it's fairly obvious the three characters with the largest peeners are easily Thrall, Jailer, and Deathwing. Just by sheer size alone.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, Deathwing's probably the biggest. He's a giant, massive dragon.
I was not thinking of Deathwing as a dragon. I was thinking of Notharion. And his visage. Do dragons have a dick?
Yeah. They be making eggs. How do you think... The birds and the bees.
Dragons don't exist. How would I know how dragons fuck?
Let's get into the birds and the bees of dragons, Blizzard. Let's talk about how do dragons fuck.
I just remember seeing dragon eggs in World of Warcraft for the first time with the spikes, and I'm like, the diva that had to get that spiky egg out of her cooch, I'm so sorry.
It's a mess. It's got to be a mess down there. I'm so sorry, Diva.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alex
anyway,
Straza,
Thrall, huge.
The thumb. The thumb says it all. As you would say, Art, the thumb says it all. That's crazy. And you know what? We dunk on him a lot. I'm sure King Mechagon's got something going on down there. It's probably not even humanoid. It's probably like a piece
of metal.
A
USB stick.
A USB stick, but it's a very large USB stick. Because listen, if you get the ability to add limbs to yourself and all that jazz, I'm sure those gnomes are freaky. Those mecha gnomes. There's attachments. They're screwing them on. They're like
different sizes, different vibrations, different movements.
There's an entire industry for the mecha gnomes in the adult entertainment business in World of Warcraft.
Fierce.
On Azeroth.
For sure.
Do we have time for one more quick question?
We do, yeah.
All right. This one says, "Hi, cuties. I'm a Void Elf hunter named Venti. As of modern WoW, the Alliance and Horde seem to be working together more than they used to. Do you think Blizzard is moving toward a future where the factions are true allies, or do you think we'll eventually see them become enemies again?"
Good question.
I have thoughts on this.
You go then.
I do fiercely believe post trilogy we are going to see a division between the two factions again. I think that there are subtle hints within the story that we have right now that the Alliance and the Horde are still at ends with each other. But there's been so many world-ending plots that out of convenience, they have to work together. I think that this is present in like how the Alliance are received in Silvermoon. I also think even in this most recent patch, the Ulatech patch, we are learning that the elves still have rivalries with each other.
Rivalries.
Yeah, I would not be shocked if there is some resource that comes up where someone says something or does something to spark a rivalry again, that we will see tensions flare. I also would not be shocked if, and I've said this before, we see a third faction pop up and or the factions have a little bit of a shakeup. I don't think that we would see like Night Elves have joined the Horde or anything like that, but I could see like people from these factions maybe joining a third faction. And maybe the Horde and the Alliance are fighting this third faction while also fighting each other. I don't know. I'm just like
throwing
ideas
out
there. You think you're rid of it?
To get rid of it. Yeah. I
disagree with that.
Yeah, I have a lot of people will disagree with me, but yeah. I think it's a concept that we've reheated its nachos so often. I'm bored. What's the point? You can have conflict without having two sides like that, like the Horde and the Alliance. It's been over 20 years now. What are they going to do there that it's going to make me get excited about this again? Like, we've seen it all, I feel like. I don't know. I feel like they can make a story and not make them all be like one people and respect like the differences, but without the whole like, oh, Horde it's either Horde or Alliance and nothing in between. I don't know. I feel like we're over that.
I think based off community feedback, I do think that Blizzard will lock in on the war in War of Warcraft or World of Warcraft post trilogy. I do think we're going to get that.
So sadly. Men don't cry more. Okay.
Yeah, I do think it's sadly going that way. But thank you. Thank you so much, Venti, for the question. If you are new here and would like to submit a question, or if you're a regular listener and would like to submit a question, please do so at azerothwithattitude@gmail.com. Or you can leave us a comment in the YouTube comment section or the Spotify comment section. A shout out to...
Or just DM us on Instagram. You can DM us on Instagram even. That works.
Seriously, do not DM me on Instagram.
No. I mean, our podcast.
Oh, Instagram. Please, yes. You can also DM us on Instagram on Azeroth of Attitude. Please let us know your character's name, maybe what server you're on, what class you play. We want to know also where you're from. Like, it's very interesting to know, like, where all the listeners are from. And it doesn't have to be a question about World of Warcraft. It can be about literally anything. It also doesn't even be a question. You could just like pose an idea and just get our reactions to it. Like genuinely, we want this to be a community where everyone feels like their opinion can be heard, even if it's against what we're saying. So please, like, let us know your wrong opinion, and we'll tell you how you're wrong.
Yeah. Thank you so much for watching, Divas.
Yes,
thank we'll you see so you much. Next week.
Bye. See you all next week with another episode. Bye.
Bye.